That's the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. If you would honor the Word of God as we read it together by standing to your feet, if you're able this morning, please do so. Matthew chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together, would you? Father, thank you for your goodness to us. As we finish up this year, you've been so faithful to us here at our church. You've blessed us with our pastor that has preached to us faithfully this entire year. Help us now to hear what he has for us as we finish off this year. God, speak to our hearts. Help us to be better Christians for being here today. And Father, if there's someone in this room this morning that does not know Jesus as their Savior, from their sin, I pray they would settle it before they leave today. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, make sure your electronic devices are turned off, please, so they do not go off during the service. And then, of course, sit very still and listen very carefully. You say, well, Pastor, we just read a Christmas text. Are you like me when Christmas is over? You want to just throw the tree in the backyard, tear the lights down, and be done with it? Nothing as forlorn as a Christmas tree the day after Christmas. Once Christmas is over, I kind of want to turn it loose and get on with things, the trappings of Christmas. But now, please listen. But in the account of Christ coming into this world, we must remember something. God sending his son Jesus to come and die for us and pay for our sins was God's plan. And here in Matthew chapter 1, God is going to reveal that plan to a man named Joseph. We know very little about Joseph before Matthew chapter 1, except for a list of genealogies that tell us the heritage of his people. We know one statement about him. The Bible said he was a just man. We'll come back to that in a minute. But I want you to think with me for just a moment this morning. I'm not going to preach so much about Christ and Christmas. I want to talk to you about a man and God's plan. Nothing was as important as Jesus coming to die for us to pay for our sins. The fulcrum of all of God's plan for mankind, starting back in Eden when man messed it up and took of the forbidden fruit, the fulcrum of that plan to send redemption was that God would send his son Jesus to us. And the moment that Christ would come into this world would begin God's working of the plan for Jesus to be a man and walk this earth, the God-man now, but to walk this earth and then after 33 years go to the cross and pay for our sins. But the whole plan begins with Christ's birth and coming into this world. That's the plan of God. And he reveals the plan to a man named Joseph. To me, humanly speaking, Joseph is the greatest human character in all of this plan. Because he could have messed this up so easily, it wasn't even funny. And be honest with you, Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 2 and in one mention of him in John chapter 6 and verse 42, and it was a mention of Joseph. After Jesus was 30-some years of age, began his earthly ministry, they said, isn't this the carpenter's son, Joseph? His father and his mother, we know from that one statement in John 6, I get the idea Joseph may well have been alive throughout Christ's life. But what his part is in this plan is very, listen now, it's very brief and to some people seems insignificant. But that's the greatness of all this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here's the thing this morning. God has a plan for mankind. And you fit in that plan. And our part in it may seem insignificant and small, much like Joseph's. But how important was he to this plan? The angel comes to Joseph and says, you're a espoused wife. They were engaged, not married. Your espoused wife is with child, Joseph. That's a social pariah in that day. In some cases, excuse me, she could have been put to death. And while he's thinking on it, the Bible says, as we read, Joseph was thinking about it and he was minded to put her away privately somewhere till she had this child. But God came to him and said, Joseph, no, that child is of the Holy Spirit. Now see, for a Jew, he knew what that meant. She was the one, the chosen one of Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah 9 in verse number 6 and the book of Jeremiah and all the prophecies. In Jeremiah it said, a woman will encompass a man. All the prophecies of Christ's virgin birth. Young women in the day here when Mary lived were looking forward to the opportunity that they might be that chosen vessel. Joseph finds out his espoused wife is that chosen vessel. And now he's being told, don't worry about it, Joseph. Don't put her away. Everything will be all right now. She's going to bring forth a child, and that child's name will be Jesus. And he will save his people from their sins. And Joseph, he's God in human flesh. His name will also be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then the Bible simply says, and Joseph, when he awoke, realized what God had told him to do, and he did exactly what God said. And people, listen now. We go right by Joseph in the Bible and fail to realize what a key and important part he played in God's plan. Now, it was simple. Listen, it was simple. It was brief. But he touched the plan of God's redemption for mankind. He had his part in it. Now, my point of my message this morning is this. On the last Sunday of 2015, you are a part of God's plan. And you and I must understand something. Your part in God's plan is just as important as everybody else's. And you need to fit into that plan. You need to know what that is, and you need to do your part. You say, well, I mean, come on, Pastor Johnson. Look, I'm not going to be anybody like Joseph, for goodness sakes. You're discounting something very important this morning. It doesn't make any difference what part of the plan we play and what our part is in God's plan for mankind. The important thing is this. Will you be willing to do your part? You know, in the great things of life today, you find it being said over and over again. We're just looking for somebody who's a team player. Whether it's in sports or whether it's in politics or whether it's in the economy or whether it's in the workplace, they're just looking for people who will be a team player. Do your part. Fulfill your part at what needs to get done. You were shopping, right, during Christmas time. How many times did you come across delay in what you wanted to do because somebody wasn't doing their part? My wife and I did the Christmas shopping for the family, and then, of course, I did my Christmas shopping for her. I got it done in an hour, and I hit 5 stores, and I didn't speed. I went flying through those places, knew exactly what I wanted, got it done, and got out of there, and it was done in an hour. You say, yeah, you just ran through. No. I knew what I wanted to do. I got it done. And what I did was I kept looking for people who were at a register who looked like they knew what they were doing, who were still conscious enough to be able to function. and I got my part of the plan done. Now look at me, people. God has a plan for mankind, and you, if you're his child, you fit into that plan. Now Joseph has his part, and it's brief, and he passes the pages of Scripture, boom, and he is gone. But his plan and his part of this plan is very important, and I want to emphasize that to you on this last Sunday of 2015. I don't know what your year was like in 2015, but I can assure you, my friend, God has a plan for 2016, and he has you as a part of that plan. What did Joseph do there that helped him to do his part in God's plan? Well, first of all, he was prepared to fulfill his part. It says in verse number 19 that Joseph was a just man. He wasn't just a man, he was a just man. Now, what does that mean? In the Bible, see, that's a statement that doesn't mean a lot nowadays, but in those days, here's what that meant. It meant God looked down at Joseph and said, there's the man I'm looking for. He wasn't a perfect man, he was a just man. He wasn't an absolutely sinless, righteous man, he was a just man. First of all, he was just in the sight of God. Now, that's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I be justified in the sight of God. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you justified in his sight? I remember years ago, I was witnessing to a man. I worked in a lunch meat factory in South Chicago. One more time, do not eat packaged lunch meat for any reason. I'm trying to help you. I worked in this lunch meat factory, and this man that trained me on the equipment that we worked and stuff, he contracted brain cancer. And after working together for over a year and a half or so, his health got to the place where he could not work anymore. And I was trying to win this man to Christ. And he was in a religion that taught works for salvation, and he thought for sure he was all right because he was a part of this church and he was baptized in that church and he had communion and confirmation in that church. He had all the religion of that church. He was square. And as the cancer developed more and more, I would go to visit him and things. And they were doing radiation on his top of his head where the cancer was. And he was a strapping, pretty strong guy. And I watched that cancer just wither him away. I knew he didn't have much more time on one visit I made to him. And I talked to him. His name was Mike. And I said, now, Mike, I want to talk to you about receiving Christ as your Savior. He said, I've done that many times in my life. Whenever I go to church, I receive Christ. And I couldn't think of a way to word it differently so he could get it. And I said, well, then let me ask you this question, Mike. Have you ever been justified in God's sight? And after all the days and times I went into this man, I could never get it across to him. But that one statement stopped him. And he said, I'm not sure what that is. And I took him to Romans 5 and verse number 1. I said, being justified by faith. That's faith, Mike, and trusting Christ's payment alone and nothing else for your salvation. God justifies you in his sight and declares you as not guilty. But you must trust Christ to do that, Mike, and accept him as your Savior. Do you know he bowed his head and received Christ as his Savior? Mike was justified in the sight of God. That's what Joseph was. He was a just man in the sight of God. But also he was just in the sight of others. In John 6:42, where it says, his father and his mother, we know him. We know who they are. We know he's the carpenter's son that they spoke of Jesus. They didn't know that Joseph wasn't his real father. He was just his stepfather, if you want to call it that. But Joseph had a good testimony, had a good reputation. See, here's the thing. We think of Joseph, oh, he must have been a great theologian. He was a carpenter. He must have been a mighty leader in politics. He was a carpenter. Well, he must have had great understanding and knowledge and letters of learning behind his name. He was a carpenter. But I tell you what, he was just in the sight of God and just in the sight of man. He was ready for God to come to him and say, now, Joseph, I have something very important for you to do. God never even said that to him. He just said, Joseph, here's what the situation is. Your wife to be, your woman you're engaged to, your espoused wife's with child of the Holy Ghost. She's the one, Joseph. Now, if God would have just walked up to any guy on the street who was living his life for himself, doing what he wanted to, that man would have never believed God in a heartbeat. But Joseph was just in the sight of God and in the sight of man. See, friend, look at me. What you are before God and what you are before man helps you fit in his plan for mankind. Got too many people today who are too interested in what they're getting out of life and what they want in life and what they do in life for themselves about their life and the way they live things, and they're forfeiting the ability of God to help and use them in his plan. Say, I don't want God's plan. I want my plan. How foolish can that be? God's great plan for mankind, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to pass and will come to pass. You don't want to miss that. You don't want to be on the outside of it going, oh man, I wish I'd have known that. No, you want to know it now. You want to be in it now and being just before God prepared Joseph. He was prepared for God's plan. Number two, he simply accepted his part in it. His acceptance now in this plan is no small thing. His espoused wife is with child. Before they were married, society would look at them and say, those people are not even married yet, and she's already with child. Do you know there's no record? Look at me. There is no record in the New Testament where Joseph ever had, where Joseph defended his spouse wife's pregnancy. He just took the shame of it. God didn't ask him to fulfill something that was simple. He's asking him to fulfill something that was difficult. And by the way, this child that would come to him would cost Joseph four jobs, four houses, and five moves. See, well, you move and then you move. No, in those days you didn't just move. You went to a house, city, you built your house. He's a carpenter. You built a house. He lose that. He had to give that one up because he had to move. Then he built another house and he had to move there. He even had to leave Israel and go to Egypt for a while and build a house there. And then God said, now go back home. He lost that one. Four houses, four jobs, five moves. And a wife that's his wife to be, and she's with child. And then, of course, there's all that stuff in Matthew there where Joseph says, hey, wait a minute, come on, how much more stuff do I have to give up to do what you want? Right? A lot of griping from Joseph. Look at me. A lot of complaining from Joseph. A lot of moaning and groaning from Joseph. A lot of hesitation. Listen, if Joseph had hesitated about protecting Mary, she could have been stoned to death, carrying the Christ child in her body. When God came to them after Jesus was born, and God said, now, Joseph, you got to get out of town. They're going to kill Jesus. If he would have hesitated, Jesus would have been killed before the age of two. His hesitation, no hesitation. Yes, sir. Lose a job? Yes, sir. Lose a house? Yes, sir. Move? Yes, sir. Whatever it is you want me to do. His home, his place, his country, and to another nation, back again. You know what Joseph did? He just said, yes, sir, and simply accepted his part in God's plan. Are you okay with that this morning? Look at me. What part of the plan of God are you still resisting him about? You're still holding out about God's plan in your life. You still don't understand this thing because it doesn't make sense to you. You don't see how it could turn out or how it could work out. A little child was putting together a puzzle one day. It was quite a large puzzle, as a matter of fact. When she finished it, her mom came and looked at it, and she said, well, sweetheart, how in the world did you do that? That's quite a size puzzle for a child your age. And she very gently turned it over, and she said, well, Mama, on the other side was this man's face, and when I got him right, everything else came together. No, I don't always understand all the pieces to the puzzle in God's plan. There are parts in there that just don't seem to fit to me. You ever been there? There's parts of God's plan that don't, I mean, come on. There are part of God's plan where I shake my head and I say, no, can I wait a minute? Wait a minute. That piece doesn't fit the puzzle as I understand it. I learned a long time ago something I learned in the military and being married for 40 years. Just shut up and do what you're told. Two words that'll save every marriage or what, fellas? What are they? Yes, dear. See, the ladies said it, not the fellas. I noticed that, man. And then if you're really a man, you go ahead and do whatever you want to do anyhow. But anyway, the point is, remember that one too, by the way, please. But the truth is, forgive me, the truth of the matter is, yeah, my soul. I was talking about it in my class this morning. I don't want to know what's going on next year. I don't want a prophetic understanding of 2016. Because I look back at 2015, I see good and bad, tough and easy. I see sweet and bitter. I see high and low. I see dark and bright. I see victories. I see failures. I see all the pieces of this last year's puzzle. Amazing puzzle. By the way, and when the year's over, it's still all good. Thank both you Methodists. It is still all good. Tough as the year's been for some of us, it's still good. Because God's still good and God's plan is still right. You know what my job is? Just shut up and do what you're told. God comes to him and says, Joseph, what do you do? Take her and leave. Yes, sir. I got to move again, lose another house. Yes, sir. He just simply accepted his part of God's plan. You got any parts there you're having trouble with still? Can't accept that. Well, that's going to cause you problems. By the way, you'll excuse yourself from God's plan. Don't miss this now. What have you yet to accept from the hand of God in his plan? Joseph fulfilled God's plan because he didn't alter the plan of God. He will have, and I won't go through all of them this morning, he'll have five distinct opportunities to change the plan of God. Five of them. In Matthew 1 and Matthew 2. Five times he could have just changed everything because then he would have said, I ain't doing that. Look here, people. He just didn't get in the way. Sometimes doing God's plan for your life is just get out of the way and let God's plan work in your life and in others' lives. We got folks nowadays in their own lives, they're control freaks. And hey, guess what? They're control freaks in other people's lives too. They got to control everything. You got to be in charge of it all, you know. And I appreciate being in charge and doing what you're supposed to do. I understand that. But some people, it's like, hey. I was telling my wife this morning. Two of the kids, grandchildren, four-year-old, two-year-old, were standing there. The two-year-old picked up the four-year-old's toy. The four-year-old walked over, took it away from the kid, and shoved him. The funny part is the mom goes, isn't that interesting, the dynamic between the children? Okay, wait a minute. The dynamic? He shoved her. The kid took his toy, he shoved her, that's the end of it. What is the dynamic that's involved here? And how come we're gluten-free and caring about gluten-free and letting kids eat the boogers? I don't understand this concept, okay? It just blows my mind. I'm sorry. It just seems that young parents today are hilarious. They really are. Well, let's see, there's a one-year-old. I tell you what he's thinking. He's one. He's sitting there with peanut butter in his diaper. The kid's one. All he's thinking is, where's my next meal? Who's changing my shorts? That's all he really thinks about. Well, he's really thinking about it. You try not to laugh, but some of it you can't help it. It's like, all right, people, wait a minute. I'm 62, and that's all I think about. Anyway, the point is, I'm sorry. The point is, it's insane. Just get out of the way. That's all you got to do is just get out of the way. Seriously, the plan of God involves my participation at certain points and my lack of participation at certain points. And wisdom is to know when to get out of the way and let God's plan work. Some of you folks, you've done so much in your children's life and with your children's lives that you do not let God work his plan out in their life. I don't mean to forsake them or to leave them alone, but you can't control everything about life. You can't control everything about your life. You cannot do that. You do your part. See, that's key. You do your part and let God do his part. Remember that Romans 8:28 thing, right? All things work together for our good. Whose part is that, church? That's God's part. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, that's my part. Don't do his part, do yours. You love him and live in his purpose. You let God do his thing. God will make everything work together for good. See, Joseph, he must have thought, man, I got an espoused wife who is pregnant with the child of the Holy Spirit. How do you tell people that? Well, she's with the Holy Ghost. You know? Yeah, all right, you tell that story. Yeah, that's good. No, no, he just did it. And that was it. Joseph just didn't mess with the plan of God. Got any honest people in this room this morning? Then you'll answer this question honestly. You think back on the mistakes in your life. Was it God's fault or yours? Oh, I guarantee you some would think God did. Some would say, wait a minute now. Here I am going to church doing right, and everything got messed up. Oh, really, that was God's fault. God punished you for going to church and being faithful. There was a man in the land of Uz, the Bible said, whose name was Job. He was a just and an upright man, one that feared God to shoot evil. And in one day, God took everything away from him and killed all his kids. And you know what he did wrong, don't you? He was a just and upright man, one that feared God to shoot evil. He didn't do anything wrong. Did God make a mistake? Huh? We're not talking about the patience of Jezebel nowadays. We're talking about the patience of Job. Yes? 3,500 years later, we're still using the example of that guy's got the patience of Job. Don't you understand? There is a plan. God has a plan. Don't mess with that. Find out what his plan is by simply living in the Word of God, by the will of God every day of your life, and don't mess with the plan. Joseph could have altered everything. Christ is born. There's Joseph, Mary. Here's a carpenter, and his family is in a stable. His adopted son now is in a feeding trough wrapped in poor man's rags. But the Bible tells us, and you can pick this up as you read it in Matthew 2, that he did wind up building them a house. And they're in a house when the wise men come. Then Herod the king sends an edict to kill every child in that area, 2 years of age and under. But before he does, God says, now Joseph, time for another change. Take that child and go to Egypt. The animosity between the Jews and the Egyptians was just as strong then as it is now. But he took them and went. He didn't get in the way. I don't know how long they were in Egypt, but they were long enough then for to be in a place there too. And then God says, now go back home. Start all over again. And he starts all over. He had so many chances to alter God's plan. He just didn't get in the way. You say, well, that's me, Pastor Johnson. I've messed up God's plan for my life. You still breathing? Then there is a chance. You can alter the plan of God, and you may change some things about it, but you can still come to know what it is he has for you. Look, folks, I don't know how your 2015 is going to end. In 5 days, it'll end whether you realize it or not. And when 2016 starts, guess what? I suggest we get in the plan of God for our lives by knowing his word, living in his will, and then you'll find out that you just get to reach and touch a life. Maybe just one life, that's all. Man's name was Kimball, taught a Sunday school class there in the 1850s. Had a bunch of young men, young professional men in his Sunday school class. A boy named Dwight was in that class. Dwight had a sixth grade education, very, very poorly educated, but a motivated guy and a hard worker. But he knew Dwight was not saved. He worked in his uncle's shoe store, and every day he'd go down to the shoe store and try and screw up the courage to walk in and talk to Dwight about his salvation. And finally, one day he stepped in and he said, now, Dwight, I need to talk to you. And they stepped aside for a moment, and Kimball led Dwight to Christ that day, that young businessman. That was Dwight L. Moody, who would lead 1 million people to Christ in his life without electronic means whatsoever. Nobody knows what Kimball did after that. Don't know if he led another soul to Christ. He led one soul to Christ, and that one soul led 1 million souls to Christ. Don't you understand how this thing works with the plan? It's greater than we could, it's exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. You just don't want to miss God's plan for your life. He has a plan. Make sure you get in it. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.